Welcome to another edition of In the Know. I'm your host, Tony Reeves. All right, everyone, we're in May, and we all know what that time of the year is. This is graduation time. This is the time when we start getting all excited because, you know, well, one, it's the end of the school year, so we know that for the younger kids, anybody from 11th grade down, we know it's about time for them to transition on and have their summer fun coming before them as they get ready for the next year. But for a very select class, which is your senior class, it's all about transitioning to that next level, whether it be going out and getting a job, whether it be going to joining the military, or whether it's going to college. It's just an exciting time. Yeah, let's make this thing do what it do. But I want to take a moment today to talk about something. And in particular, I want to talk about those kids who are getting ready to transition to college. And there's a particular group of kids that I want to focus on, because my thought is I want to talk about who thinks about the hardworking B student. And I'm going to be honest, I was one of those kids. When I graduated from high school back in 1987, there was not a whole lot of fanfare. You know, I took the ACTs and the SATs. You know, I didn't do really great on the SAT. I did much better on the ACT. I had my fair share of various accolades in terms of being a member of different organizations, National Honor Society, LATE, the United States Achievement Academy, and all these good things, just a variety of different things. I can honestly say I was a good, solid student. I made the honor roll every now and then. Back in my high school, the merit list was for the B students. So your A students made honor roll, B students made the merit list. And so I was a solid merit list. Almost every semester I made the merit list. With occasion, I would make the honor roll. And I can tell you, by my senior year, I didn't realize it until, you know, and I really realized it after the fact. I wasn't getting any scholarships offers, or not a whole lot. You know, for those of you who don't know, usually what happens when you start taking your tests, you indicate, hey, can you have your scores released to various universities? And depending on how you do, you may get a flood of all these different schools interested in you attending. And usually in the mix of those, some of those schools will offer you scholarship money. And I'm going to tell you, that is an awesome thing. Especially back in my day, school was a little bit more affordable, but it was still expensive depending on where you went to. And the one thing that I realized then, and I definitely realize now, if you are the golden kids, the spectacular A students, as I referred to them to, you're going to get flooded with all kind of scholarship offers. I mean, they're literally going to throw money at you. And think about what happens today. Now, we love to celebrate those kids who have hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars in scholarship money. And we just think that's awesome. But a part of me started realizing a very unique thing here. We're celebrating the spectacular A student. And don't get me wrong, now, because there are a lot of parents out there who, they supported their children in all their endeavors, and they want to make sure that they give them every opportunity and they push them to get scholarships. So I am not knocking that at all. You know, so we celebrate the spectacular A student. But what about the hardworking B student? And what I mean by the hardworking B student, I'm talking about the student whose grades are good enough to get them into universities, but not necessarily good enough to get them scholarships. So I can tell you from my example, you know, I only applied to a couple of schools, and in particular, I had one in mind. That school gave me like a grant, and it was a private school, and I needed student loans just to go to it. I got scholarship offers to one school, and don't get me wrong, I had the opportunity. I probably could have gotten scholarship offers to more if I would have been more strategic. But in retrospect, I started realizing, even back then, you know, you see certain kids getting all these scholarships, and it never dawned on me how many of those kids actually needed all those scholarships. Because let's be clear, you know, when you see a student saying they get millions of dollars in scholarships and everything like that, you're only going to one school. It doesn't cost you $1 million to go to college. So if you got all this scholarship money, what about the kids who need it, who can't get it? Because guess what? The spectacular A student gets it. Which led me to what my thought is with regards to what do you need to do to promote the powerful, hardworking B student. And this is one of the things that I used to do when I would go and I would talk to kids at various schools. I would share these bits of insights. First thing I would tell them, listen, explore all scholarship offers. You're trying to, and you know, when you're 18, 17, 18 years old, your goal is to get to college. You're not thinking about life after college. You're not thinking about student loans. You're not thinking about debts. You're not thinking about any of those things. You don't have any idea or even concept of what hardship is like in college. So you're not looking at it from the standpoint of how is this going to stress me out. But I can tell you as someone who was, you know, when I went to college, I had a student loan. I was on college work study. I had Pell grants. I had university grants. I became a resident assistant, which actually paid me as well. And then eventually I got a ROTC scholarship. I mean, I had to use a whole lot of different things just to get through school financially. So what ends up happening is that when you're going through the initial process, you're probably going to get all kind of weird types of scholarships. So explore every offer that's thrown your way, which leads me to my second one. Consider schools you've never heard of. One of the dangers that I often have a concern with whenever I see schools is that they sell kids on the lure and the attraction of coming to a school. I mean, the campus is pristine. The classrooms are awesome. The parties are off the chain. You know, it's just this eye-opening experience. And let's be clear, for a kid, that is sensory overload when you have spent the last 17 years of your life under your parents' roof. So going someplace and seeing all these beautiful people that you've never seen before and all these different activities are really attractive. But what ends up happening is the number of times I run across kids, especially now at this point in my life, who go to schools and end up dropping out because it was too expensive and they couldn't afford it, or it was just too rough. I'm not saying academically they couldn't handle it, but from a financial standpoint, it was just devastating. So I often tell kids, listen, consider the schools that you hadn't heard of. So if you get a scholarship or if you've got a school that's really on you that you never heard of, don't tell yourself that you won't have a positive experience there because it's not the school that you thought about going. Don't sleep because you never know. Because when you look at a school, if this school really wants you to be there, they're probably going to be more like to work with you to get you there and to keep you there. Which lends me to my third ones, okay? Scholarships, apply anyway. Don't let the fact that all of the kids in the top 5% or the valedictorian or salutatorians, don't let the fact that they're applying for everything make you feel like they're going to get it anyway. Apply. Because some kids, you know, they drop out of scholarships, they get enough scholarship money, they don't necessarily need to apply for this one. You never know. And what ends up happening is that if you convince yourself that this person is getting all the scholarship money and you don't apply at all, guess what happens? That money sits there because the people who can get the scholarship who probably don't need it don't apply, and you're thinking or your child is thinking, well, they're gonna apply anyway, so I'm not gonna get it. So nobody applies. So I tell students all the time, do not knock yourself. Take the time, actually apply for the scholarship. Let them tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. Let them tell you that, oh yeah, you're not gonna get the scholarship, because you never know. And then finally, this is the biggest point I like to tell students. School is a journey, not the destination. You're not going to go and live on a college campus for the rest of your life. That's not where you're going to live. That's not where your journey ends. A school, college, university is a tool to help you build on the foundation of the dreams you're trying to achieve. It's not some place where you're just giving them your money just so you can say you went there. You have to look at the schools as a strategic tool for how is it going to get you to where you want to be, which is why I tell students all the time. The reason why I say that is because if you are attracted to a school because it looks good and it's really pristine and everything like that, yet they're not giving you any financial assistance to help you get through. But then you have this other school that you've never heard of, that you didn't even bother to research, but they are really sweating you to get you to come there, that school might be the one that is in the best position to help you get to where you want to go. So if you find yourself in that situation where you're really trying to decide where is the place that's best for me, keep in mind, the school that's best for you is the one that's going to help you get to your final destination and not treat college as if it is the destination. All right, welcome back, everyone. And we're going to have our next topic here is talking about the impact of COVID on our kids. Now, about not too long ago, I was in the process of working with these youth with this various program that I was putting on as part of my affiliation with my fraternity. And I noticed that during the time we were working with young men, and it was a panel discussion, the kids were between the age of 12 and 17. And this one young man, that they said, like, he said a couple of things. He said something, and about two or three other kids said something that really resonated with me, that let me know that this whole pandemic has really hit kids in a different way. You know, when you're an adult and you're working from home, yes, I know it's draining. And you're like, oh God, it's just, working from home is driving me nuts. I can't interact with people. I miss my coworkers. Yeah, but let me just be clear. If you're one of those persons who, you know, hated the fact that you had to get up in the morning, you had to iron your clothes, you had to put on makeup, you know, then you had to basically, you know, leave in enough time to be able to grab you something to eat along the way, you know, deal with crazy traffic, get on mass transit, you know, make sure that you got there so you can find a good parking spot before you even started your work day. Think about it like that. You probably enjoy to a degree that you don't have to deal with that headache. That may sound cray, but think about that for a second. As an adult, we spend a lot of time doing other things before we even start our work day. You know, I can tell you, for instance, my wife, her work day would start at 6 o'clock in the morning for her job and so forth. But this is not trying to be funny here, but at one point, you know, she drove to her job was like an hour and some change away. So guess what? She had to get up at 4 to be on the road by 4:30 to make sure she could be at her job at her desk by 6. So she had a 2-hour window on the front end, 2-hour window on the back end. So you can imagine that when, you know, the opportunity to work from home kicked in, she loved it, because guess what? It shaved off 4 hours that she didn't have to wait. So when she got done at 2:30 in the afternoon, which is when her normal day ended, she literally ended at 2:30. She could just stroll back into the bedroom and be good to go. But we often forget that kids operate under a different set of parameters, which lends me to the three things that the kids said, and the fourth thing I think is really important. One of the kids said time flies by. Imagine if you're a kid, and unlike in a structured school environment, because for all of us adults out here, think about how it was for us. If you're in high school or junior high school, you probably have, let's just kind of play it by ear. You get like, you know, from my school, classes start at, I think it was like 8:10 in the morning. It was a weird thing. So classes start at 8:10 in the morning. And don't ask me how it worked, but each class was 50 minutes. So you had your 8 o'clock class, your 9 o'clock class, your 10 o'clock class. And then you had your 11 o'clock class. Then you had like a, you know, they had these staggered lunches. And then you had your 1 o'clock class. And then you had your 2 o'clock class. And then you were done. And so you literally are there from 8 to 3. And you're staggering your hours. You know, your time in between those time, you know, in between classes becomes real sociable, which I'm going to talk about. But you don't have any concept of time at that particular point because, you know, you're doing so many things. You've got your meetings. You've got your different organizations. You've got, you know, all that stuff kind of keeps on ticking by. Imagine a situation where you're a kid and your only experience is getting up in the morning, go online, do your homework or do your online teaching, and then that's it. I would think the time would stand still, but it probably really feels like, oh my God, it's moving, because your routine doesn't break. You're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know, the window of opportunity that they normally give you, they don't have to give you as much anymore. And why am I stressing on that? Because it's important for you to remember, these are the years that you'll never get back. As an adult, we're gonna deal with the same old every day, each and every day. But when you're a kid, there are so many things that you're doing on a regular basis and you're missing out on it. And if you feel like as a kid that you're losing your time because it just seems to be flying by faster than it normally does, that's really disturbing and can be really upsetting to any kid. So just think about that for a second, which lends me to my second one. And I have this one young man, he's like maybe 13 years old, and he said missing spending time with his friends. And that really touched me. I mean, let's think about it like this. And I'm going to give another example again. My senior year, God, it's been a number of years. But when I was in high school, I had a good friend of mine who I used to meet every morning, especially when we started driving and so forth. And she and I had this nasty habit of waiting till the last minute to start studying for stuff, studying and doing homework. And so we would always agree to meet at like 7:30 in the morning. And so we would get there at 7:30. I would park beside her, or I'd park behind her, and I would hop in the car, her car, or she'd hop in mine, depending and so forth. And if her boyfriend was there, I would, you know, you do your thing and I would stay in my car. But anything, either way, it would be this weird thing where you had from 7:30 to like 8 o'clock. And invariably, that was my time to socialize with her, talk about what was going on, yada, yada, yada. But then think about all during the day. Because even though you're in class and you're listening to lectures and so forth, you're still kind of, you know, passing notes to your friends, needling them, asking, you know, or maybe you get to class a little early and you're shooting the breeze with your classmates and they're talking about, oh, don't forget about this meeting. You know, we got a meeting today. Don't forget about that. And even when you're going in between classes, think about it. I mean, how many times have you, you know, for me, I went to school on a very large campus. So, you know, when we had to go from class to class, you know, you had to move. You only had like 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, you're walking from one building across campus and you're passing people that you don't normally see unless you see them at lunchtime. Hey, what's going on? What's good? Hey, don't forget me. Hit me up later on the night. Gotcha. And that was the routine. And then, of course, you had lunch. Like we laughed because we had the lunchroom. We had a break room. Most kids ate at the break room. So imagine being in a situation where everybody's in the break room. You're shooting the breeze. You're getting your hangout on. And so, and then towards the end of the day, depending on the situation, usually right after school, you had your extracurriculars. So you see your athletes out there playing football or running track, or you're going to the gym for basketball. You see the band outside practicing. I was in ROTC, so I was out there in uniform drilling. Or, you know, you run across campus and you're doing your various organizational activities. And you feel like you're moving 100 miles an hour, but the best part about it is that you're engaging with people all throughout the day. School may seem weird when you look at it from the back end and say, oh, it's just a set hours, but you're constantly engaging. So imagine if you're a kid and you have that removed. You're now in an online environment, but you now no longer have that rush of continual interaction with your classmates, engaging about them, you know, them telling you about different things. It just takes a different meaning, which lends me to another part. The power of, you kind of feel like you're losing the learning. And that was something another student said. He said he felt like he's kind of losing his ability to learn. And I understood what he meant. Not that the teachers can't teach you anything online. That's not what he's saying. It's that same interactive environment. You know, there's something to be said when you're sitting next to your classmate who may be able to comprehend something a little bit easier than you. And you learn it. So what does that mean? It means this. Oh, got it. Because even though the teacher said it, you speak me. I speak you. And so all of a sudden, when you're doing online learning, you're kind of on an island unto yourself. And that can be really, really disturbing. So I really took to heart when I was listening to kids saying all these different things, which led me to my final point. And I know parents are, because I got friends of mine who have kids who are online learning and who are now, you know, staying at home, and they're slowly moving back into the school system. They're talking to their kids. And I tell people, please talk to your kids. Because here's the one thing we don't know. We don't know the long-term impact this is going to have on kids. We have kids right now who spent the good portion of their life looking forward to graduating, and their graduation is going to be so different. Has been. We've already got like 1 to 2 classes, for sure, last year and probably this year. Their experience graduating is so different from everybody else's. I mean, completely different, which lends me to believe that we don't know what type of impact this is going to have on kids. We don't know. So it's important that you take the time to talk to them, because guess what? And I'm going to share this story with a good friend of mine told me. His daughter was due to get ready to go to college last fall, and she had to forego that. So she spent her whole freshman year at home, online learning. And I teased him. I said, yeah, man, you know, the moment that she gets a chance to go back on campus, she's going to be wild. And he just started laughing. He said, yeah, I can tell right now. But you can imagine, we never thought about it, but think about that impact that has on a student. You have all these types of things that you're looking forward to. Your world order has been disrupted. Everybody's world order has been disrupted. But the reality is that unlike an adult where we can kind of readjust to this, to an adjusted type of order, not saying it's not going to hit us as hard, but for kids, their world order is very finite. There's only a set period of time that they have the ability to do what they need to do within this particular course of their world, and then it changes. Think about it. You know, you'll never do, you know, my work year this year is probably going to be the same as it was last year, as the same it is next year. But guess what? You'll never do eighth grade, unless you flunk, you'll never do eighth grade again, or ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th, or first, second, third, fourth, sixth, and seventh. Those years are very finite, and what happens during those times are set in stone. So to have it disrupted can be really, really, really unnerving for somebody who's never been prepared for it. And because let's be clear, nobody ever prepared for any for us for any of this. So I encourage you, and I thought about this, and I've been thinking about this a lot. Please take the time, talk to your kids, talk to any of these kids out there, because we don't know what type of impact COVID is going to have on them. But I do know one thing, it's going to have an impact. And we need to be there for them as they work through and process what this last year and a half meant to them. That's it for me, everyone. Thank you for that's it for me, everyone. And thank you for joining me for another episode of In the Know with Tony Reeves. I am Tony Reeves, and always make sure you are in the know. We'll be right back.